the We Are SC podcast for Wednesday, October 15th. Gary Paskowitz joined, as always, by Jeremy Hogue and Mike Lamb. Guys, we are sitting here precisely at the midway point of the season. The Trojans sitting with a 4-2 mark and pleasantly on top of the Pac-12 South. That is the good news. Coming off a game, a 28-26 victory over Arizona, that certainly featured a couple bright spots. Buck Allen running for a career-high 205. Leonard Williams with a couple of big plays. Sarkisian was talking about somebody making a play. Leonard Williams certainly did that on defense. But for the second week in a row, Trojan fans are left hanging on for dear life at the end as the defense just having trouble stopping an opposing offense. Fortunately, this week for the Trojans, the final play of the game is a kick that shanks wide right. USC walks away with a victory. Before we get started talking about where we see things at the midway point of the season, I want to get an opening thought from each of you on that Arizona game. Jeremy, go ahead and start.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all sort of feel lucky, right? I mean, everyone feels lucky at the end of that game. And as much as it's good to get a win, and a win is a win, and like you said, it puts us at the top of the pack in the Pac-12 South, tied with some other teams, but still right there at the top, you got to feel lucky. I mean, I think the defensive effort was better, but when it came down to the end, the lack of depth with the cornerbacks going down, all of a sudden opened the door for Arizona to do some things offensively in the passing game that they weren't able to do for the first three and a half quarters. And on offense, you know, the run game was strong. You mentioned Buck Allen. I mean, he had a terrific game, even individually. I mean, as much as the offensive line gets some credit for that run game as well, I mean, there were things he was doing that were all on his own that were just fantastic. And, you know, the Trojans are lucky to have him right now. The passing game was sort of so-so. In my mind, way too short, way too many bubble screens and short passing plays. I know everyone's talking about that in the media, but, you know, when you get down to it, the defense sort of, with the lack of depth, wasn't really good enough at the end, and the offense wasn't good enough to really put the game away when you had some possessions at the end where you could have gotten first downs and moved the ball and, you know, just walked away with the game. So at the end of the day, we had to rely on some luck, and that's what we got. But like you said, we are one loss in the Pac-12 South, top of the heap. Got to look forward at this point.
Yeah, I'd like to reiterate that point about Buck Allen and the fact that if it's not for him, where is this team? And he is clearly the MVP of that offense. He's clearly the guy that needs to get more attention, and he's clearly the guy that, you know, has got to have the ball more. And, you know, Gary, you know, you prefaced that by saying the defense, you know, had a hard time holding on to the lead. Well, I want to point something out. The Trojans had 28 points at the end of the third quarter, and they had 28 points at the end of the fourth quarter. So to drive that point home, if you're going to have those possessions and you're not going to be able to do anything with the football, you're putting a lot of pressure on the defense. And so when you talk about trying to put someone away, I honestly think of that more offensively than I do defensively. And when you can go down and get a field goal, you know, a touchdown, a run, and it's interesting because Buck Allen had a big run in the fourth quarter of the Arizona State game that broke open, and I thought that should have been able to put it away. And then defensively, I thought it was, you know, an issue in that game, and that's why they lost. This week it's different. I thought that defense did have the one breakdown, but by and large were much better. But offensively, they just got stagnant. And it's almost, you know, to the point where you're saying to yourself, why is the play calling different, or why is your offense not as productive in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, and I'll pick up on that. You know, I mean, because it was there the week before, too. And I know Sark made a comment about it this week, but this is 2 weeks in a row where, you know, you can sit there and say, well, it's prevent defense, you know, and they're moving the ball against a prevent defense. I don't think we're necessarily doing that. I think the problem is a prevent offense. I mean, when you get to the point in the fourth quarter where you've got leads like you've had the last 2 weeks, and as you said, Mike, you sort of change the play calling to, you know, run the clock or whatever it might be, you know, you're putting your defense that has lack of depth and is tired at the end of the games and has injuries against Arizona where we've got some cornerbacks that are getting exposed. You know, as an offensive lineman, as an offensive tailback, as a quarterback, you want to go out and take the game and take, you know, they get 3 points. That game's never in doubt. You march down and get one field goal, 3 points in the fourth quarter, and that game's not really in doubt. Whereas, you know, you sort of do what they did, and all of a sudden, you know, you open that door for an Arizona to do what they did and the week before for Arizona State to do what they did. And I think that's got to change.
And you kind of alluded to it, Jeremy, the comments that Sarkisian made this week that I thought were very interesting when he kind of said, hey, it is the old version of how you put a game away. You get a lead and then you sit on the ball and you try to drain the clock. And he's saying, hey, with these up-tempo offenses that so many people are running, the ability to quick strike, maybe you need to start rethinking that in the fourth quarter. And I think it goes to the heart of what you guys are talking about right now in terms of being able to put things away and that need to stay aggressive and not to do that. What do you guys think of those comments? Jeremy.
Well, I think, you know, he's echoing what we said, or maybe we're echoing what he said. I don't know. But, I mean, I think we've all been thinking it. To me, you go out and you got to win the game, and you don't win the game in three quarters and sit there and say, we've got a lead, now let's change what's been successful and just try to hold on. I mean, you just don't do that. Maybe you do that with 2 minutes left or with a minute and a half left, but to do that with 8 minutes left or 10 minutes left, I don't see it anywhere, and I don't think we should have been doing it all year. And but hopefully, as a coaching staff and as a team, you know, this group is learning, and right or wrong, where we're at, we're number one in the Pac-12 South right now, and sort of control our own fate to a large degree. So, you know, if they learn from it and change, and I mean, there's not as much as you could sit there and say this team right now, there's not a game that we can't lose potentially, you know, other than maybe Colorado between now and the end of the year. I mean, all those teams that we play are going to be good teams, explosive teams. The way we've been playing the last couple of weeks, we could lose. You could also flip it around and say there's a game we can't win. So if this team does grow and continues to grow with the on-the-field play, but also continues to grow with coaching and understanding what we need to do late in games to win, you know, you got to hope that we're all learning and growing and getting better for the next few weeks.
And Jeremy, you talk about the team being number one in the Pac-12 South, but does anybody feel confident about how they got there? Was there a sinking feeling at the end of that game that it was going to be the second week in a row that something was going to transpire where you've got a big lead in the fourth quarter and then you can't hold on to it? So when you talk about being able to learn from that, it is a situation where the staff has got to learn and where I think the players have got to learn. And I've seen growth among the players, and I don't think that you would disagree with that. And I've really seen it across the board, but some more than others. But I don't want to belittle and I don't want to besmirch being first place in your division in the conference, because it's great and it's the position everybody wants to be in. But it's just a little bit tenuous in my mind, the way that you got there. And if you don't think that there was a certain element of luck at the end of the Arizona game, then I don't know what game you're watching.
Really, you could say four of the first six games could have gone,
yep,
you know, either way. And so I think you bring up a great point, Mike. Yeah, all this and that. Take it. Take being atop the conference right or the division,
yep,
right now. Happy to do so. Was all of it great? We can certainly debate that. But the fact is USC is sitting at the top right now in terms of having one more win than everybody else, the others with one loss in the conference. Let's stick on the offense right now. And one of the things that Sarkisian talked about coming out of this last game is the one element of the offense that doesn't seem to be developed right now is the downfield passing game. And I think there was a little more effort to do that against Arizona with mixed results. How do you guys see that? It does seem like there's progress in the running game. I know you guys have been hitting all season long about the offensive line in terms of it being a work in progress. But you talk so much about the identity. Will it be an identity that starts to really feel the downfield passing game? Or is Buck Allen and the power running game what this offense is all about, Mike?
Right now, if you're going to go in and win a football game and you know what your strengths are, right, and that's part of coming up with a game plan, I think Buck Allen has got to be accentuated a little bit more, and I think he's got to get even more carries than he is. I'm not into the committee thing. He's a guy, he's one of the best backs in college football, so let's go ahead and utilize him. One of the things that's been happening to the Trojans, and while they're taking shots down the field, there have been some drops that have probably planted a seed in the mind of Steve Sarkisian, you know, do we really want to continue to do that? And Nelson Agholor had a drop, and I've been a big fan of what he has done, but it seems as though every game there has been that drop down the field with a ball that's been dropped right on him. So I think that part of it is something that, and I don't know, do you continue to coach that? Do you harp on that? Do you get better at that? Maybe that's the case. But I think Nelson's going to be the guy they're going to have to go for because, you know, Darius Rogers, in my estimation, is just not ready to be a big-time, prime-time receiver and do that for you. But there is a weapon. You've got to be patient and try to go ahead and continue on with that and try to, you know, see if you can expound on that a little bit. But my gosh, if you've got the best running back in the conference, if you got a guy that rushed for 200 yards, and, you know, and his name is starting to be bandied about with some of the great players that ever played there, with, you know, some of the numbers he's put up, you've got to build upon that.
I think when you're talking Buck Allen, Mike, one of the most impressive runs in that Arizona game wasn't even a run for the touchdown. It was in the fourth quarter when SC was in there, and he got past the line, and two Arizona defenders hopped on his back, and he drugged them for 18 yards. I thought it was one of the plays, if you're a Steve Sarkisian and you're looking to say, this is the toughness I want in my offense, this is the kind of mindset that I want, look no further than that play right there.
Well, he's got that, and he's got all that you want. He reminds me in that sense a little of T.J. Duckett. You remember who was the great Michigan State running back and then
sure.
Went on into the National Football League and the toughness. But I don't want to lay too many comparisons on him because that run was just – I thought to myself, there's no way to top that when you're that physical and you can finish that way. But I wanted to make the point – about Buck Allen and the difference between what he's doing and maybe other running backs, and that is his vision. He understands where he's supposed to go with it. Jeremy made the point at many times that, you know, the offensive line is going to miss a block here or there. And so why Buck Allen is able to be successful and maybe Justin Davis is not is because he knows where to cut that thing back. You know, they're running so much gap, and because when you run gap, you don't know where it's going to transpire. You know, are you going to counter? Is something going to go up and open up in front of you? And he's seen that, and he's special. And I've seen some running backs, and I played with a couple of them that had really good vision. And if you want to try to put your finger on what separates him, to me, that's why he is successful, and that's why he ran for 200 yards.
I love that right there. Jeremy, before we get to you, I just want to comment on that. Mike Lamb, I played with a couple running backs who had some pretty special vision. Yeah, 12 and 33. Those guys were okay.
And I don't want to do that to Buck, right? I mean, that's I just don't want to lay that on him. But, you know, I do see a little 33 in his vision. We'll just put it that way. How's that sound?
I'm just jealous that Mike could play with 12 and 33 and I didn't. I'll just leave it at that. But I will say, as much as I love Buck Allen, and I mean, he's making this young offensive line look really good and giving them a lot of time to sort of grow up and mature. I do think, and this is back to Gary's original point before Mike's, you know, Buck Allen love fest here, that there is something to the fact that we really have got to grow our passing game. Now, I think mm-hmm. that we're going to face teams in the next 6 weeks of the season that are going to basically say, we're going to come up to the line of scrimmage, we're going to stop Buck Allen, we're going to double Nelson Agholor and make you beat us in some other way. And right now, I don't see us really developing that. And as much as I love, as an offensive lineman, love seeing that run game, we've got to have a little bit of balance to be able to back those linebackers up, back those safeties up. I don't see us targeting the tight end the way I would think we would when you have a running back running for 200 yards. I don't see us, you know, doing quick things for, you know, 5-yard slants, 8-yard slants off of play action fakes when you know it's going to be there because the safeties and the linebackers are sucked up. I don't see us doing that. I see us doing bubble screens and underneath stuff and, you know, the downfield routes, whether, you know, Juju Smith isn't in sync with Cody or whatever it might be. You know, I don't even necessarily need to see the long bombs, and I know everyone's, you know, expecting to see these deep post patterns, you know, and that we connect on these. I don't even need to see that as much as I want to see us just taking shots in the 8 to 12 to 15 to 18-yard range down the field to take advantage of this run game that we've got. and back up the safeties and back up the linebackers and use some of the talent we have that I don't think we're doing right now. And I don't know, Mike, whether you agree with me or not, but I mean, I think let's run Buck Allen, let's ride that horse, let's use
yeah.
him and feed him the way you're talking about. But let's use that also to make sure we. When was the last time we threw a pass to a tight end? I mean, come on now,
well,
we've got to get some balance in that pass game.
You know, your point is totally valid. Anybody who knows football understands if you're one-dimensional, you're easy to defeat. So while you have the luxury of having a very good running back that's bailed you out in a couple of games so far, and he'll probably do it again before it's all said and done, and that's great. It's something that you want to have, but you've got to strive for balance, especially in today's college football. If you look at Arizona, how many times? Well, they threw the ball over 70 times. So if you're going to compete in that conference against teams like that, Oregon, Arizona, you name it, you're going to have to be able to do that. And you're going to find yourself at some point behind in a game, and you're going to have to throw the football. So, you know, being prudent and judicious with it, you know, are you throwing the ball down the field just to throw the ball a couple times? I'm fine with that. The only time that I get worked up in it is, like, you've got to pick up, you know, 5 yards, and you're throwing it 12 yards down the field. And that part is something that I think Cody and Steve Sarkisian have got to work on as well. To understand where the passing game fits in. I think it could come together, though. And Gary, you know, you tell me, as you look at it, when you start to see some things get better, I really like this quarterback. I'm a little bit concerned about, you know, what's happening the chemistry with the receivers, but I could see this coming together for him.
I agree with you, because I think that is the one piece that, like you say, is kind of obvious that it's not there yet. But there's talent out there. Cody Kessler's can do this job as the quarterback. You've got good receivers. You've certainly got a nice tight end, even too. I do see that piece coming together as the season goes along. But one of the things that I want to hit on really quick, and we've talked about the offensive line so much, is where do you see the offensive line going in the next six games? I know you guys have both said work in progress, but I really think that O-line is going to be key to allowing that passing game to develop for the whole offense to come together. Jeremy, go ahead and start on that.
We said at the very beginning of the season, I think we probably even targeted right around this point in time, if we can get halfway through the year with this young offensive line and we weren't sure who was going to play and how they were going to do, and we've seen a lot of that inconsistency that we knew we'd see early in the year. But we all talked about the fact that you give this line time to play together and grow up, even as young as they are, that in that second half of the season, they're going to start getting really strong. And I think we're starting to see that. I mean, they played so significantly better against Arizona than they did in prior weeks. There was so much more consistency. Now, you know, hey, Buck Allen made some plays even when we didn't have guys blocked, and that's the luxury that we have right now, and we need to keep feeding that. But, you know, if we can, I think this offensive line is going to continue to get better and really give us a chance. That's why, you know, maybe we should be 4-2 right now. Maybe we shouldn't be 4-2 right now. Whatever it is, that is what we are. And I really look at the second half of this season, and I just don't want our guys to get too confident, because the one thing that sort of scared me a little bit is this whole comment, you know, hey, we're a Hail Mary away from being a top-5 team.
Oh.
Don't even worry about that. I mean, come on. We're an average football team that is probably a little bit lucky to be 4-2 right now, but we're getting good, and we have the potential to get really good. And can we right now, you know, work at it, dedicate ourselves, you know, put in, have the mentality to sort of rise up to that potential and be a really good football team down the stretch? There's absolutely, you know, we're talking about being halfway through the season. I'm sorry to keep rambling, but we're 4-2 right now. I was hoping, I think we were all hoping, maybe we'd be 8-2 going into UCLA and Notre Dame towards the end of the year, right? That's, I think, what maybe we thought was probably where we could be. Well, I think we've got an absolute shot at being 8-2 going into UCLA and Notre Dame. And if we can get there, all these, you know, hey, we've gotten lucky the last 2 weeks. That'll be ancient history at that point. We will be number one in the Pac-12 South, 8-2 going into UCLA and Notre Dame. I think we've absolutely got the potential to do that.
Gary, if you want my opinion on the offensive line, and I think you asked for it, they are at a spot where they were bad, and now they're okay, and I think that they can become good. And that's the simplest way that I can put it. I don't think this group is going to be great, but if you've played 3 or 4, 5 games for USC as a starter, you're not a guy that's a neophyte any longer. You're somebody that can play against that competition. You're starting to understand what you're going to see. And that's why I think that they're okay. And I wouldn't have said that before this game, because before that I didn't think that was the case. I really thought there that was an issue there. So if they continue to grow at that rate, you'll be good. And that's the thing when you play in November, and Jeremy alluded to it, UCLA and Notre Dame. So if you're good against them now and you've got a very, very good quarterback and you've got a very good running back, I'll take that. And am I the only one on this in this conversation that would take that?
No, not at all. Not at all. So let's I hear you on that. Let's flip over to defense really quick. Mike, you made a statement a couple minutes ago that that I kind of took note of, and you said if you're one-dimensional, you're going to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
The Trojan defense made Boston College one-dimensional. They made Arizona State one-dimensional. I think this is one of those things when you take those two facts and both of those games end up in losses. You look at the last 2 weeks, the way that everything came down to the wire at the end with, you know, the corner spot right now, especially against Arizona, you don't want to make excuses, but reality comes into play when you are down so many bodies, at the corner spot. But I think if you take the pulse of the USC fans on our message boards right now, that is what is worrisome about the defense. It's not so much, anything just pie in the sky, oh, what's going on? It's some specific things. What are you hanging your hat on? How are people marching down the field like this? These are the things that are concerning people about this USC defense right now. Jeremy?
I think, you know, we go back to the offense, and I think we're seeing it mature. The worry is the defense. This is not a defense. You know, we have depth issues on defense, but we don't necessarily have youth issues on defense. We've got linebackers that are playing. Anthony Sorrow's been here for a long time. And, you know, I hate to say it, but he's running around and letting plays happen in and around him as if he doesn't really know where he's supposed to be on the football field. And we've got some other guys, you know, 47, 56, 58, that there's times you wonder, you know, do they really understand what Wilcox is trying to get them to do on the football field? If it wasn't Lawrence Jackson knocking their tailback out of the game on one play and coming all the way across the line of scrimmage and stuffing a two-point conversion on another play, you know, that game has a much different look to it. You know, that one guy right now, we are leaning on heavy. Our defense is as much about Lawrence Jackson as our offense is about Buck Allen. I mean, he is clearly the MVP of this defense, you know, many, many times over. You know, Hayes Pollard's playing solid behind him, but not, you know, there's no big outstanding plays being made. We're not making the disruptive plays in the backfield that we're used to seeing from the Trojan defense. And our secondary, as you said, Gary, is sort of, you know, holding up with all the injuries and everything, and you feel just sort of hanging on to try to eke out some victories and get some stops. And that's the worrisome part, like you talked about, is you see the offense is maturing, and that if we can get the passing game going, that could really be, we could be clicking here towards the second half of the season. The worry is how's this defense going to hold up? Are we going to continue to have games where in that fourth quarter we're either worn out or we're worn down and guys are on the bench for injury or whatever it might be, and we just don't have the ability to stop guys in the fourth quarter? And I think it's a legitimate concern. I personally think, you know, when I watched on Saturday, Mike, I'd be interested in your comments. One thing that kept jumping out to me is, do we attack more? You know, when an offense is there and they've got to go 80 yards down the field, you know, should we, rather than just, you know, give up 5 yards of play, 6 yards of play as people march down the field on us in those fourth quarters, do we not take some shots and try to force some plays? And if at the end of the day we give up a big play, we give up a big play, but they're on their way doing that anyway. Do we not take some, put in more blitz packages, put in more disruptive type things to try to force the issue on the offense and be more disruptive? And that, to me, if I'm a defensive coach, is strategically sort of what I'm considering right now.
Well, you got to pick your shots if you're going to do that. So it's early in the game and come in and do that, and I'm all for that. And I thought that Justin Wilcox started to do that with Sue a little bit. But you can't do it when your two starting corners are out.
And there's no doubt about it, Mike. When you're talking losing so many corners like that, there is only so much you can do. The good news is at practice this week, Adoree Jackson got some work in on Wednesday. Keevon Seymour has been back both days. So hopefully that is good news for the depth back there on the defensive side of the ball. That's it for the We Are SC podcast on Wednesday. For Jeremy Hogue and Mike Lamb, this is Gary Paskowitz.